Christ himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. If you're going to be afraid of somebody, be afraid of God. If you're going to worry about something, worry about pleasing God. Verse 14, and he shall be for a sanctuary. We talked about it this morning. He literally, during that time when they were in captivity in Babylon, the cloud that came down from Moses and Aaron came down on the top of Zion and provided them a shelter and a covert from the storm. All of those 70 years of captivity, God met with them there on Zion by his Shekinah glory. Didn't need a temple. Didn't need Solomon's splendor. God just kept right on being God the whole time Israel and Judah were gone. He'll be a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin that is a trap, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And therein you find that New Testament equation that you have one of two choices. You'll fall on the rock and you'll be broken, or the rock will fall on you and you'll be ground to powder. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel because they were destined to reject him. Verse 15, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. And this is Isaiah speaking. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. God bless you. You can be seated, and let's give God praise and thanks for his word this morning. Forever settled in the heavens. Why don't you lift up a voice and give him high praise for his word. Lord God, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you for your word in this house tonight. Blessed be the name above every name. Praise God. Now Isaiah speaks here of his children and says that he and his children are signs unto Israel. And the signage for his children is in their names. And as you make your way through the text of the prophecy of Isaiah, you come across the sons of Isaiah. Chapter 7 and verse 3, Isaiah is going out to meet Ahaz, one of the kings under which Isaiah serves in the tenure of his prophecy. And there is a conspiracy of nations that are going to come up against Israel and come up against Judah. And it's not the planned judgment of God. God has Assyria coming in to take care of Israel, and he's got Babylon coming in to take care of Judah. And the outlying nations see the weaknesses and they see the problems and they're conspiring to come against them. But God's sending a word out. This is going to be my judgment. This is not going to be a decision you make. Let me tell you something. If God decides to judge you, nothing is going to stop that or alter that. But if you are a child of God, nobody else can lay a hand on you without God saying yes. The devil can't rise up against you. Your enemy can't come against you unless God says yes. Didn't I read it in the word of God? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Praise God. And so God's going to judge them, but now he's sending a word of hope to Ahaz. And he tells Isaiah, then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now and to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And Shear-Jashub, his son, has a name that has significance for judgment. And it simply means there will be a remnant left, or a remnant will remain. And as Isaiah had this child, God had him to name him something that was significant of judgment. Judgment is coming. Judgment is your destiny. Nothing can stop this judgment of God unless Israel has a full-fledged repentance experience. And he names his child as a little nugget of hope. Not everybody's going to die, but there'll be a remnant left. Earlier on, it likens Judah to a little cottage in the middle of a vineyard. That's all that's going to be left. He says in another place that there'll be a tenth of Judah that will survive the Holocaust that will be Babylon coming down to destroy Jerusalem. And here the child is named, there'll be a tenth left, or there'll be a remnant left in Judah. And as we make our way into the eighth chapter, we are introduced to the second son of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8 and beginning in verse 1. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Meher Shalal Hashbaz. Now, some of you young couples need to keep some record of these names, because the Bible's full of great names for your children, like Meher Shalal Hashbaz. And he says, and I took unto me faithful witness to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. And then said the Lord unto me, call his name Meher Shalal Hashbaz. And it being interpreted means haste to the spoil. And Isaiah's son is indicative of judgment. The very name of his son means, and it's a cry to Babylon, hurry down and spoil Judah. Hurry down and take what they have. In the very fabric of the family of the prophet, there are prophetic utterances in the names of the children. One says judgment's coming, but there'll be a remnant that's left. The other says, haste, Babylon, down to the spoil and take what God has made available. There has been sowing in Judah and in Israel, and now there's going to be reaping. And we've talked about it during the course of several services, but you can't make your way through these Old Testament prophets like Isaiah without seeing the carnage of sowing and reaping. They've chased after other gods. They've emulated the cultures around them. They have forsaken God and the word of God, and now judgment is coming down on them, and the weight of God's judgment is going to be desperate and terrible, and Solomon's glistening, beautiful Jerusalem will lie in charred ruins before the judgment is finished. There's going to be sowing and reaping, and the word is for them as it is for us tonight. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I talk to new converts all the time that as they come into a relationship with the word of God, it begins to dawn on them. I've got something that I've got to pay to God, or I've got some things in my life that are about to come back. I've been sowing to the wind and I'm going to reap a whirlwind. I've been sowing to the flesh and I'm going to reap a little bit of disaster. What can I do about that? And I don't have any answer at all, because what you put in the ground is going to come up. What you've sown is going to come up. Don't make a mistake about it. The devil will come to you and say, oh, you can do this, and it won't have any repercussion or consequences. But you need to know the word of God tonight. What you plant is going to come up in the spirit. My advice to anybody, if you've sown and if you've scattered seed that's not godly seed, then what you need to do is, fast as you can and with all the energy you have, you begin to sow good seed. You begin to sow good things, because the same principle is true. What you sow, you're going to reap. And what I'd like to do tonight, I'd like to choke out with good seed. I'd like to choke out every negative thing I planted before I came into the kingdom of God. I'd like to sow hundreds of godly seeds and biblical seeds over those negative and worldly things that I planted before, with the hope that the good will choke out the bad. Woo! Praise God. Anybody need to do some sowing, some good sowing, some biblical, some spiritual sowing? And I believe it's true. I believe you can choke out the bad stuff, but you got to get with it. You can't be dragging your feet. You got to get on after this. You've got to begin to plant some godly things, some powerful things. Praise God. Judgment is coming to Israel. Judgment is coming to Judah. There are failures in their past. There are consequences. because of those failures. The devil and our world always forget to tell you about the consequences. They say, oh, just do it. Oh, let the children express themselves. Oh, just let them be kids. You know they're going to go do those things. Just let them go and do them. But they forget to tell them there's always consequences. There's always a reaping. You want to be careful with your life because you only have so much life and so much energy and so much time. And you got to be careful that you sow good things and right things and shun the devil and embrace the things of God. But in the midst of Shi'ar Jashub, which means a remnant will be left, and Meher Shalal Hazbaz, did you get that? Are you writing this down? I mean, the nursery needs a Meher Halal Shabaz. Between those, in the seventh chapter, God drops. God is always, always like this. Starts back in Genesis 3, in the midst of the judgment, he drops in a promise. All the way through Israel's history, everywhere you find God dispensing judgment, there's always a promise. That's just God's nature. If you ever see the hand of God's judgment coming toward you, you need to know there's always a hand of mercy extended to you. God always does that, unless the scripture says, and that without remedy. If you ever get to the place of, and that without remedy, you're gone. Because you're beyond the reach of the mercies of God. But between the birth of Shi'ar Jashub and Meher Shalal Hashbaz, between those, somebody else is prophetically born in the scripture. In Isaiah chapter 7, and beginning in verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. This man's afraid of his shadow. God's given him a great big wide open door. He could have asked for anything there. Don't hesitate when God gives you an open door. But he's afraid. He's superstitious. He's been hanging out with the Philistines and the familiar spirits. And he said, hear now, O house of David. This is Isaiah. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? He said, listen to me. God asks you for a sign. God asks you for a response. Don't sit there and twiddle your thumbs. He said, well, I'm going to give you a sign all by myself. Ahaz, you had your chance, but now I'm going to give you a sign, and this is the sign of God. Verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Now, we love this. It's powerful. We'll go back and touch it in the Christmas season. I used it just about a week ago. We had new people in a Bible study, and they wanted to know about the oneness of God and the discussion concerning the Trinity and baptism. And so I start way back in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. But I make my way through Isaiah, and one of the stops is Isaiah 7 and 14. A virgin is going to conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. And then somebody else will read from Matthew chapter 1, and the angel says his name will be called Emmanuel. But he gives us the interpretation, which being interpreted is God with us. Everybody say God with us. And it's prophecy concerning the birth of Christ and the fact that God is going to come to the earth as Messiah, as Christ, God robed in flesh. But you got to get this. Between chapter 7 and chapter 8, the whole discussion is death and doom and destruction and judgment and reaping and hardness and burning and no hope. But here in the middle of the judgment, God drops in a promise. It won't happen today. It may be a little while, but God's going to open up another flower. God's going to open up some new hope. God's going to give you another chance. There's going to be a redeeming moment. Emmanuel's coming, and he's going to be God with us. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's another promise. Judgment's coming down like an anvil from heaven. But God drops a promise in the middle of it. Judgment is inevitable now, but God's giving them another chance. Not these men, not this generation, but there's going to come a generation. God's not done with Israel. God's not done with Judah. It takes a lot to extinguish the passion of God when he's walking in covenant with a man. Praise God. There's going to be another season. But unfortunately for Israel, they're going to make the same mistakes again. John chapter 1, verse 1 identifies the one that's coming as God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. When did God come to the earth and walk in the earth? When he came as Emmanuel, God with us. When he came as Emmanuel, the Christ, the Messiah, robed in flesh. But when he came, they didn't recognize him because they were expecting something else. They had another chance, but they missed it. They had another opportunity, but they blew it. They had another season, but they were so hung up on the constructs of the past and over what they thought God's response should be. Verse 11 said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. There are going to be Gentiles. There are going to be people from outside. Gentile woman's going to come and get a miracle from him. A Gentile centurion is going to say, no, you don't even have to come to my house. Just speak the word. The Gentile cities are going to receive him. And a little Samaritan woman's going to leave her pot at the well and run into town and tell everybody she sees, come and see somebody that told me everything I ever did. But Israel as a whole, they're not going to hear John, and they're not going to hear Jesus. And about 40 years after the crucifixion, Titus and the Romans are coming in. And once again, Jerusalem is laid in rubble. Jerusalem is strewn with bodies. It is identical to what happened, except Jerusalem was not as splendid this time. But other than that, the carnage and the burning. The Romans dug that place up and sowed it with salt. They hated the Jews so badly, and the Jews were such a pain in the neck. They said, we don't want anything ever to grow here again. Jesus had prophesied it. Isaiah had prophesied it. And now Jerusalem was not going to be Jewish for nearly 2,000 years. It was going to languish, and the Jews were going to be scattered all over the world. It is true that if you don't learn from the past, that you'll be doomed to repeat it. It is so elementary to life that if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. Everybody has a past. Everybody has mistakes. Everybody has failures. Everybody has disappointments. Everybody said the wrong thing. Everybody's done the wrong thing with varying consequences. Some have walked out of marriages. Some have walked out of their children's lives. Some have backslidden, made their way back to the house of God. But I want you to know that in the midst of your disasters and your failings and your backslidings and your poor decisions, God has dropped in a promise. There may be inevitable judgment on things that you've done in your life, but can you hear the word of God tonight? That God always drops in a nugget of promise. In every season of life, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how far you've fallen, God is saying the same thing that he said to Isaiah for Israel and Ahaz. He said, God is with us. I want you to know Emmanuel is a great Christmas story, but Emmanuel is more than that. It's the present tense of the motive force and the conscious effort of God. It's not God was with us and now we've squandered it. It's not God will be with us and we'll just have to wait for that, but it is God is with us. It's an extension of his declaration to Moses at the burning bush. He said, who should I tell them you are? He said, you tell them I am that I am has sent you. God is forever present tense. And tonight, in the middle of your trouble, God is. And tonight, in the middle of your pain, God is. And tonight, in the middle of your mistake, God is. And tonight, as the past is weighing you down like a boat anchor on your joy, and every now and then you can get a brief glimpse of hope, but you can't quite get it into a place where it's a continuing force in your life, you need to hear this tonight, right now, God is with us. It's a new day, right now. No, you didn't even begin to hear that. It's a new season, right now. There's a new chance, right now. Praise God. Question is, shake your neighbor a little bit and say, God is with us. And where God is, anything is possible. Tell them Emmanuel means God with us. Praise God. Anybody here believe that God is with us right now? Does anybody believe God is bigger than your past? Anybody believe God is bigger than your sin? Bigger than your mistakes? Bigger than the trouble you left behind? My God, my God. Now the question is this. How great a shadow will you let your past cast over your present? How great an impact will you allow the past? You see, you got to get this with Israel. They're a dog chasing its tail. They are continually in cyclical failure. Continually. And even though God drops it in on them and they have this phenomenal experience and this wonderful opportunity and they ask the right questions to John, are you Elijah? Because the prophet had said, Elijah's coming back before the Lord. And they ask, are you? They knew something momentous was happening, but they couldn't get their hands around it. And they were so politically involved, and they were so financially involved, and they were so religiously tied down, and their old habits were so set in stone, they couldn't break away from those things and embrace the message of John and embrace the hope that Jesus brought. They were going to make the same mistake again, and they allowed their past crucify the potential in their present. Jesus told them, he said, rise up now and fill the measure of your fathers. They've killed the prophets. He prophesied about them in a parable. He said, you've taken the servants that the landowner sent. You've mocked them and you've beaten them and some of them you've slain, and now the son has come to you and you've said, now if we kill him then the vineyard will belong. He talked about them in his parables. He spoke to them face to face, but they couldn't even hear it. And when I'm telling you tonight, it's a new day. Some of you are hearing it, and some of you are giving some sort of a perfunctory response because you think that it's required somehow. But I'm telling you, it's a new day. God is with us. You got a new chance. God is with us. There's a new season. God is with us. You can close the day on yesterday and take a long step out into a brand new experience in the kingdom of God. Things don't have to be the way they've been. Things don't have to be the way they were. But will you continue in the same behaviors? Because if you keep doing what you've been doing, will you, like Israel? Now you got to understand, we're out of here in a hurry tonight. Some of you hadn't even got on the board. The train's already left the station. About half of you never got on. Are you gonna be like Israel and repeat generational failures? See, I don't believe in generational curses. I don't believe in them. If you believe in them, I guess they can be real. But every generation has its own choice to make. Now, you might have a genetic predisposition toward alcoholism, but I don't think you labor under a curse of alcoholism. Because you see, when you go to the cross, the blood kills every curse. There's not one that can survive. So you might come from a fine heritage of all kinds of sin and corruption and dysfunction, but son, it may go back 15 generations, but when you come up out of that water in Jesus' name, you're a brand new day. You're a brand new chance. You're a brand new creature. All things are made new. All things are passed away. Praise God. Now, culturally, you may have a predisposition for certain behaviors that are dysfunctional in terms of relationship building and maintaining relationships in the home and all that, but that's training. That's not a curse. That's a skill set, and you can learn a new one. Question is, will you keep right on doing what you've been doing, or will you learn a new skill set about life? Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. One baby was, there'll be a remnant left, but it spoke of judgment. Another baby was named, and I won't even try to say his name. The other baby was named Hasten to the Spoil, and it spoke of sure judgment. But in the midst of those chapters, there's a promise and there's a baby that is Emmanuel, God with us. Well, praise God. I just got to know, you probably have a name for your past. You probably have a name and a discussion to go along with it for the events of the past and the people of the past and the experiences of the past. But is there somebody in the house today that would like to give a new name to a new day? Would you like to name the baby of potential and the baby of opportunity in this, my God, my God, my God? What are you going to name that baby? I'm going to name him Victory. Victory shall be mine. What are you going to name that baby? I'm going to name him Great in God. What are you going to name that baby? I'm going to name him My Cup Runneth Over. Every day he loads me with benefits. What are you going to name that baby? A sound family, a fine home, a loving relationship, a solid marriage, children around the table, and grandbabies on my knee. What are you going to name that new baby? You see, because it's in your hand. Nobody's going to be able to come in and do that. I'll tell you though, if you name that new day, nobody has the power to come into your life and take that away from you. Some of you are still reeling from developments in your life. or failures in the lives of others around you, or pain from broken relationships, or continuing pain from things that seem to haunt you from generations back. But you've got the power to give this new day a brand new name. Well, praise God. And the distinct, listen, this morning we talked about God just keeps on being God. God is going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is always available. God is always there. The question is about your response. Praise God. Praise God. I know that you backslid. And I know you're back in the house. But how long will you sit detached? How long will you sit on the sidelines? How long will you keep one foot in and one foot out? Don't you see what you're doing? You're rewriting the new day after the model of the old day. You're going to have a self-fulfilled prophecy here, but it's not going to be in power and in goodness. It's going to be the same old song and dance, and it's going to be verified when you walk out in the darkness on a Sunday night, and you're going to say, I knew I couldn't live for God, or you're going to say, I knew they were a bunch of jerks in that church. Or you're going to say something that will fit the template that you have in your mind for failure. But I've got news for you. You can live for God. You can have victory in the house. You can be mighty in the kingdom of God. My God, somebody ought to shout about that just a little bit. Praise God. I know you got a divorce or two or whatever, how many behind you. How long are you going to let that specter of that old thing cast a shadow over this new thing? This is a brand new day. You can have a brand new relationship. Well, praise God. Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have one. He said, well, that's the first honest thing you've said. You've had five, and this one's not your husband. You're shacked up with him. He said, well, go get him. She said, oh, I think you're a prophet. I perceive that you are a prophet. You understand what Jesus is doing here? Now watch this. He's telling her, I'm going to deal with you. Listen, if there's no hope for her, he's walking right on by. He's not stopping in Samaria. If there's no chance for her, he's not sitting down by the well with her. But brother, son, she's been married five times and she's shacked up right now. I'm telling you, Jesus is the one that you take it up with him. He's the one that stopped by the well. He's the one that began to tell her about the water. He said, if you knew who I was and you knew the gift of God, you'd ask of me, I'll give you to drink and you'll never thirst again. He wasn't holding something out that wasn't available for her. Somebody say praise the Lord. She had a lot of bruised and rotten relationships. She had a lot of broken hearts. I don't know what all the history of it was, but I know it was painful, and I know that it cast a shadow over her. But he was standing there in the middle of her life saying, all right, I understand all that, but where are we going now? How will we get there now? What kind of life do you want right now? Now, I know you didn't fulfill your obligations, but what about right now? I know you didn't touch your dreams, but what about right now? I know you weren't the man or the woman you should have been, but what about right now? You can sit on the stump of misery and let the past reach out with its long, bony, skeletal hand and hold you back from what God has for you today. But my God, I wish somebody would shake themselves and stand up in the middle of the power and the promise of God. Give somebody a high five. Tell them I'm going to name the baby. Tell them what you're going to name the baby. I'm going to name the baby Joy. I'm going to name the baby Victory. I'm going to name the baby Revival. I'm going to name the baby Fulfilled, Actualized Potential. I don't care what you name him. And see, you can name it a big long name, because one of those babies is Meher Shalal Shabazz. So if you name the baby Actualized Potential, that ain't bad. That's not bad. Praise God. Tell somebody, it's a new day. It's a new season. I've got a new life. Well, praise God. If you've been living for God for 20 years, but you still hadn't ever got untracked, you still hadn't done what you wanted to do in God, guess what? He's Emmanuel. He is God with us. I don't care what the last season was named. I don't care what the last failure was. I've just got to tell you tonight, God's calling you to a brand new moment in your life, a brand new season in your experience. Praise God. For some parents, I could say, I know you lost your kids. Maybe your kids aren't living for God. But will you lose your grandkids too? Yeah, come on now. It's exactly right. You're going to keep the same foolishness going that broke your heart before? Or are you going to get untracked and stand up and be a man or a woman in the kingdom of God and bring those grandbabies to the house of God and nurture them? I'm not throwing stones. Don't listen. I'm not throwing stones at you for the past. I'm trying to get you to close your eyes to the past. I know it's real. I know it's painful. But you can't change it now. That judgment's already fallen. But listen, God's dropped a promise in the middle of this. Are you going to let that negative experience have such a phenomenal half-life that it saps you of every good thing you could have today? Such a horrible trap to fall into. Praise God. You lost a ministry and you don't think you can ever minister again. But that's not true. That's a lie of the devil. You got to be careful, because you will find yourself face to face with God and you'll crucify him. You'll say, can't be done. I can't. And you'll list all the reasons why not. Praise God. Would you help me? Let's stand together. I guess one of the most horrible things that a man or a woman can do is wake up in the morning and realize, I have wasted a lot of my life. Look at my age and look at where I am and look at what I haven't done and look at what I haven't become and look at what I failed to achieve and look at all the scattered dreams. And you just listen, you don't get any worse than Jerusalem at the time of Babylon. You don't get destruction any more effective and total than what Babylon did to Jerusalem. But in the middle of that knowledge, God surveyed their lives and he said, Isaiah, tell them, Emmanuel, God with us. Tell them, in the midst of a terrible defeat, there's a new day. In the midst of the worst decision you've ever made in your life, there's a new season. Praise God. Praise God. This altar is open right now. If somebody, we're almost to the end of a year here. Some years are totally wasted. Some years are filled with pain and poor decisions. But could somebody come to this altar and say, God, I want to have a brand new life. I want to do this well. I want to do this right. It's a new season. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can get it tonight. If you've lost your way, you can find it again tonight. If the past is pulling you down and stealing your joy, you can rise up out of the morass. You can have a new season. You can have what God has promised. Come on, church, do the work of the church. It's a new season. It's a new day. Oh, come in. Come in my way. Season of power. All right. God. Somebody around you may need help. You may need to pray with somebody. Come on, come on. Rise up. Lay hold of the promise of God. Rise up. Lay hold of the promise of God. It's a new season. It's a new season. Ah, press into that church. It's a new season. It's a new day. All right. Mighty, mighty God. Hallelujah. Press on in, church. Somebody get the Holy Ghost right now. Yeah, yeah. It's a new season. There's a promise, there's a word. I want you to find somebody to pray with. Lay your hands on them and pray down some anointing on their life. Tell them, I'm going to pray for you and God's going to anoint your life. I'm going to pray a blessing. I'm going to pray revival. Hallelujah. Yes. It's a new season. Praise God. Praise God. God's a God of brand new beginnings. God of infinite mercy and untapped potential. God is well able. Before we break up tonight, tell somebody by you, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter where you've gone or what you've done. It's a new season. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Praise God. Praise God. There's prayer here tomorrow night, Tuesday night at 6:30, a ladies' meeting here, and they're going to be cooking, and it's going to be fun, and you need to come and enjoy the fellowship at 6:30. Wednesday night, we're going to have an apostolic service here. God bless you. There are flyers in the foyer for the Christmas banquet bake-off.